because of Jesus, Lord, we have free access to you. For those who have committed our lives to you, have invited you to be a part of our lives, God, we ask that as we come boldly to you, that you would speak to us. The word of God, so powerful. The scriptures, so instructive and convicting. And we just pray, Lord, that we just don't hear these things and forget them, that truly we hear them and consider them. And it, hopefully it affects change in our lives, transforming our minds, the way we think, the way we see things. We want to be more like Jesus. So that is the reason we come, Lord. And we just pray blessings upon us. We're just your kids sitting at your feet, asking you to speak to us. So I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would have ears to listen, to pay attention, to focus. There's so many distractions in the world today, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would minimize those distractions so that we wouldn't miss one thing you're going to speak to us. So we take this time and give it to you. Pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would do a work that only you can do. And may it be for your glory and your honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but the NFL is having some championship games this afternoon. Anybody know that? So I just thought it'd be interesting because I'm talking about teamwork today. And when I think about teamwork, you know, it's important that all team members play together, you know, unified. There's four teams left, two games today, and they will determine who gets to go to the biggest game, the Super Bowl. But the best of the best are those who play as a team consistently and accurately. Communication is always, to me, the biggest thing. You know, if the quarterback has a plan and doesn't communicate where he's going to put the ball, then the receiver's not going to be there. Or the person, the running back's not going to be able to take the handoff. So communication is important. Communication not only on the team, between teammates, but also from the coaches on the sideline, instructing what needs to be done. And I use that as an illustration to say, we're a team. We're the body of believers. We're the children of God. And in Christ, we are to work together to accomplish God's purposes, right? Not our purposes necessarily, but if we are fulfilling God's purposes, he'll help us in our life to be effective believers, to be effective to lead others to Christ, but also to help us endure the trials and the difficulties that we have in our own lives. And so if you're here today and you're feeling wore out, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, we as a team, we as a family are here to encourage you and to lift you up and to support you. That's what the body does. That's what we do. Even on a football team, they help each other up. You know, I always respect that. You know, when another teammate helps another one up that's been tackled, I really am impressed when the opposite team player helps them up. It really gets me when somebody will step over someone, you know, because they're not on the same team. Let's not be like that. Let's help each other. Let's put a hand out. Let's say, I want to help. And the same thing when I say that, we have to let other people know that we need help. I know it's a humbling thing to say you need help, to say you need prayer, to say you need support, financial. You know, in the church, we're here to help the body of Christ, but we have to know. I mean, I've heard of people that struggle financially, and it's like, why didn't you say that? Well, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to. No, that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other. So I hope maybe there's someone here this morning that is struggling right now that, well, I don't hope that, but I mean, that if you're struggling, being reminded, hey, we're here, we're a family. We're not a team. We should act like a team. We're a family. And families help each other, right? Families help each other. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because the church needs to do our specific job. Each person in the family needs to do their part to accomplish the ultimate goal. For football, the ultimate goal is what? Win the game. Our goal is that Jesus Christ would be glorified. That's what's really important for us, to see the name of Jesus be lifted up in the church, but also out of the church. And so hopefully we'll be equipped this morning. In order for us to stay on the right path, we need to pray together, we need to be united together, and we need to work together. And one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is in Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's good from God's perspective as he looks down at his children and says, wow, they're working together. They're united in me, right? Even Jesus said, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. They're united and we're to be the same. We're to be united in them. And how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren, for the people of God to be united in everything that we do. See, the enemy wants to divide us. The enemy wants to get a wedge in between us as the family of God in our relationships with other believers, in our relationships with our bosses, our employees, you know, our spouses, you name it, your children. God, the enemy wants to destroy. But if we can stay united in our singular purpose, it helps us in this thing called life. As we pray together and as we work together in fellowship, there is a strengthening that happens. You know, on Wednesday nights, I've mentioned it a couple times, we just started our Wednesday night back up after the first of the year, and we've been doing some worship, we've been doing some Bible study, devotion time, and then we've been praying together. And for me as the pastor, boy, it's just been a rich time to really hear our hearts, to be lifting each other up, but to just even to be worshiping God, it gets our mindset straight, and it's been a very rich time. But if we pray and if we work together, we can accomplish anything. And church is not about the numbers. Church is not about the number of people. Church is about the number of people's lives that are transformed and changed and strengthened to be followers of Christ. It's not about the numbers. Oops. I love this quote by Vance Havner. It says, "Snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them get together, they can stop traffic." You know, coming from the north, I know this illustration very well. I mean, you can get a half inch of snow in this place and it stops everything, not just traffic. But isn't it true? And when I think of this quote, it's like, wait, if the body of Christ could get together, wow, what could we stop? We could stop the enemy. We could stop the struggles in life. And I'm not just saying in a church singular, I'm talking about the church. If we could all, as believers, unite. You know, we have these different kinds of churches, which is wonderful. But are they separate bodies of Christ? No. We're all one. So coming together, the things that we could do, and I believe that's what God wants us all to consider, is if we truly could unite as a bunch of believers. Like, you may have a friend who goes to a different church. Doesn't mean they're a different Christian. They're brothers or sister in Christ. We have to have that mindset. We have to think that way. Pray together. Henry Ford said this, "Teamwork is the ability to work together towards a common vision, the ability to direct individuals' accomplishments towards organizational objectives." This last line is most important. "It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results." Isn't that the truth? It's true in the world, but how much more true is it in the church? That if we would work at a common goal, if we would all be seeking the Lord for what he wants us to do as this church, boy, the things that we could do as a team coming together. And this certainly did remind me of in 2013 when I had my heart attack, or my heart stopped. To remember that first Sunday service after when I was in the hospital, how the church united in prayer. And how, I wasn't there, so I heard the prayers that the people were praying for me. God answered during the service. Uncommon results. Because after my experience, I talked to my doctors and asked, you know, what are the chances of surviving this? 0.5% of the people that had what happened to me survive. I mean, you want to talk about feeling blessed and thankful to a body of believers that pray. And I just take that experience in my life, because I have to be reminded of it because I tend to forget, but to apply it to other things that are going on in this church, what you're dealing with If we could get a bunch of believers praying around your circumstances, maybe there could be uncommon results that would happen in your life. And that would increase your faith to believe in a God that answers our prayers. And hears our prayers for sure. This last quote by Henry Ford says this, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." If we want to be successful as a church, if we want to be successful as believers, we've got to come together and unite and watch what God does with us. And that's what I've entitled today's message. We must work together. We must work together as believers. So look with me, if you will, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to read through right through verse 17 so we have it in our minds. Verse 9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So give me your attention. Three things I want to look at real quickly when it comes to working together. Working together, the first thing I see in the first three verses is that we build together as a team. We build together as a team. That's why I want to come back to verse 9, because it's, we are God's fellow workers. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, is talking about himself and Apollos, because some were saying, "I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul," and there was a bit of division in the church, and Paul wanted them to realize, Paul's nothing, Apollos is nothing. But what we are, he says, we are God's fellow workers. He's looking at himself and Apollos and saying, we're just fellow workers. Paul didn't elevate Apollos, he didn't elevate himself. He's saying, we're just workers for God, which I talked about last week. What a pleasure it is for us to work for the Lord. What a pleasure it is to be considered someone that comes alongside and works for God. Because we believe in a God that can do miracles. We believe in a God that can do anything. And to be a part of that, what an amazing thing it is. And maybe in your life, you've experienced working with God on something. Maybe you were praying for your children. Maybe you were, you know, counseling with someone in a marriage. And you were helping God, working with God, revealing God's truth to someone else. What a wonderful experience it is. And I've had a lot of opportunities to minister to couples or minister to guys and to see their lives restored, their marriages restored and strengthened. But it's not like I stand there and say, hey, aren't I a good counselor? Because it's God that does it. I just happen to be called into God's ministry so that I can help people. But that's for all of us. Yes, Paul is talking about he and Apollos, but we can apply that to every believer. We're all called to work with God. The struggle can be, what does God want me to do? Where does God want me to be? How can God use me? I believe God can use you when you just let God use you, when you make yourself available. God will give you those opportunities. He'll open those doors. So that's why we come together on Sundays, to be equipped with the Word of God, so that when you go to work tomorrow and there's a coworker there struggling, you can pray, God, please help me to help this person. God, be a part of this. Instead of just looking at the situation and go, boy, I'm glad I'm not in the situation they're in. There's no hope there. but saying, God, help me, show me, reveal something to me where I can encourage this person. That's what we need. We need people to encourage one another and help each other. Because many times, getting through a difficulty in life is just realizing that God is there to help, right? I mean, sometimes we go through those trials. Sometimes we go through those seasons of difficulty. And it's only by realizing that God is there with us, in us, that we can endure this as long as it takes. Paul says we're fellow workers. They formed a team. They worked together on God's service because they were fulfilling a certain goal. Paul's goal was to share the gospel. Apollos' goal was to share the gospel. So they were both working together. It's not like they were against each other. That's the thing we got to understand, guys, as believers. We're not working against each other. We're on the same team, trying to accomplish the same goal. But here's the thing. Sometimes different believers do it differently. If we're all doing what God tells us to do, should it matter? Right? If it aligns with the Word of God, or if it's not outside the context of the Word of God, who cares how somebody does something? You know, when I look at Paul and Barnabas and how the Holy Spirit, you know, separated them to spread the gospel, some people look at that, oh, that wasn't good. The body of Christ was divided. I believe God used that to spread the gospel further. But we look at today, church splits. I don't believe it's the Holy Spirit all the time. I think it's the infighting that's happening in the church. Now, God certainly can use it. I know a Calvary Chapel pastor who I love dearly get basically forced out of his church only to start another church because God's faithful. And again, he was pushed out not because he did anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. If someone's not living up and living a life that honors the Lord, then yes, that ministry should go away. But God can use us in these things. And for Paul, you know, he and Apollos, they were co-workers. And that's how we have to see each other, as co-workers. We all belong to God. See where it says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Three times it says you're God's. So we all belong to the Lord. It's one thing, you know, I talk to other senior pastors. And when I hear them say, you know, my church or my people, or it's like, whew, we got to keep our fingers off that. It's not ours. You belong to God. You don't belong to me. And it's my job to keep you connected to the Lord. The greatest thing that can happen in your life is if you're seeking the Lord every single day, and really moment by moment every single day. That's the greatest thing, that you're connected to the Lord. And I've seen people that have left the church who I love dearly because the Lord moved them on, because they don't belong to me. They don't belong to this church. You are God's, and you need to take instruction from him. And that's how the Apostle Paul saw it. He saw the people as the field and the people as the building. But they belong to God's. So all of it was God's. One building, one field, not a divided church. And then it says, look at verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me. Paul saw his call in his life as an expression of God's grace. And really, that is the truth. Any good that we can do in this world for the Lord is by his grace. None of us are good enough to be used by God. It's only by God's grace. And I love hearing people give God the credit when he does something in their life, or the way he uses you in your life. God, thank you. Thank you for the blessing. And that's what the Apostle Paul saw it as. By his grace, and only by his grace. And God's grace, we know that, undeserved favor. And so anytime something good happens to us that God gives to us, we say, thank you, Lord. It's by your grace. He goes on in verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was always good about keeping the focus. It's Jesus Christ. Paul said, I laid the foundation for you at Corinth because I laid the foundation that was Jesus Christ. The only foundation that is Jesus. And if we're building on anything but Jesus, that's where we go sideways. That's where I've seen ministries veer off from the truth, when they stop speaking about Jesus. I know of one ministry in this town that in the teachings I've listened to by the leader, I never hear the name Jesus spoken. And it's like, it's so easy to veer off. It's so easy to keep the focus on something else. There's a lot of good that we can do as believers, but if we're not doing the good for Jesus Christ, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. We build together as a team, and we're building on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Every single one of us needs to be sure that our focus is upon Jesus. When Paul founded this church in Corinth, you can read it in Acts chapter 18, he runs into Aquila and Priscilla, a couple, and they work together. And then he ends up at Justice's house, who loved the Lord and served God. Paul went into that area and found other believers, and that church was established. Because, guys, the church is not this structure. You are the church. And this church spreads out. This church goes into the world and into your neighborhoods and into your workplaces and the places that you go. That's the church. And so we do the equipping here, but we go out and we minister to others, Jesus being the only foundation. But when it comes to doing and serving the Lord in the church or in your lives, Paul reminds us there's a test. There's a test coming. Look again with me at verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we have to understand, God doesn't give us a pop quiz. God says there's a final test coming. Of everything that you've done in your life, God is going to look at it and test it to make sure it was done with the right motive and with the right heart under the right instructions. Right? We look in the book of Revelation. It says, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do that in your name? And the Lord says, I tell you right now, I didn't know you. Whew. There's a lot of unbelievers that do good work in the world. Raise money, have foundations, but they're not doing it for God. One day we're going to stand before God, and this verse always kind of make, oh, Lord, am I going to be all hay, wood, and stubble? Is everything that I've done, is it all going to burn up? I used to think about that. But the precious stones, the gold, the silver, the precious stones like marble, all those types of things, those things that endure, listen, are the things that God helps you endure or helps you do in your life. If the focus is on a blessing God, then all of those things that make it through the fire, we're going to realize God did that. Because honestly, I believe that all the good that comes out of our lives, we're not even going to realize we did. Think about it. It's going to be like God's going to say, remember when you talked to that person, or remember when you shared with that person? Boy, their lives got back on track, and look what happened to their life. You're going to be like, gosh, I didn't even realize that. And it's going to be all the stuff we thought was going to be valuable. God's going, I had to burn that up. Because you had the wrong motive. But again, it's keeping our hearts close to God, close to the heartbeat of the Lord, so that everything that we do is for Him. Because the moment we say, we start taking credit, that's wood, hay, stubble. Anytime we want to bring attention to ourselves, it's wood, hay, or stubble. But if we say, God, we do it for your glory, then that's precious. That's precious to the Lord. We are rewarded for our good work, verse 12. Verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. We don't do it for the reward. We do it because of our love for God. But God loves you so much that at the end, the work that He's done through you and that endures, he's going to say, I'm going to reward you for that. What a blessing. What a blessing. So we build as a team together, number one. Number two, we are rewarded for good work. So that's an opportunity for us to work together to encourage people to do things for good, to serve the Lord with a right heart, to be reminded of those things, to help keep us on track, because I believe those ministries that get off track is an entire church that agrees with the false teaching. I'm just absolutely astonished at the churches that are teaching false doctrine, the flocks of people that will show up. I mean, God knit in all of us a need for fellowship, a need to be together, a need for us. That's why I love getting through the pandemic, initial pandemic, because it taught us we need to be together. Yes, it was convenient to stay in your jammies on Sunday morning. Yes, it was convenient not to have to come and get your kids and all those things that are struggles to get to the house of God. But one thing we missed is singing together, being together, loving on each other, seeing each other's faces. So as convenient as streaming is, it should only be used if you can't get here. And I know who you are. Just kidding. I know one of them. She's probably laughing right now. Probably shouldn't have said she. But to know God's going to reward us should really motivate us. Lord, I want to serve you. Because one day we're going to take our crowns filled with jewels and we're going to, you know what? Throw them at the Lord's feet. Because they're not ours. God, you helped us. You take these things. And we're going to bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the life that you gave me. Is your life perfect? It is absolutely not. But as long as we stay close as we can to the Lord, he'll help us endure to the end. And in the end, he's going to reward us. And I believe it's going to be so well worth it. Because I don't believe God looks and focuses on the hay, wood, and stubble that burns away. I think God says, I want you to focus on the things that endure. Don't worry about those things. Listen, we all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. We all lead people astray. But God's saying, focus on the good. Because I think there's a lot of well-intentioned believers that are being held back by their mistakes. Listen, pick yourself up. Get back on the path and be used by God. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. Today could be the last day. So take every moment of every opportunity and use it for the glory of God. Be motivated by that. Don't worry about the past. You can't change it. Focus on the now and the future. One thing that's so amazing to me is God doesn't necessarily focus on the amount of good works that you do, but that you're just doing good things, right? It's not how well you did something. It's that you did something. You tried. I think God sees that and it honors us. And honors us in it because of our intentions. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. During the pandemic, God gave me an opportunity to do some online devotionals with some guys all over the country. And it just happened. To me, it's the Lord. But me and this other gentleman were doing devotions together here in Tennessee. And then he had to travel, so we started doing them by Zoom. And then he's like inviting other guys, friends, his nose. It became this little Bible study devotion that we did every single morning. And what a blessing it was. And I look back and I say, that's something that the Lord did. That wasn't something that Pastor Rob said, okay, hey, why don't you get all your friends? And we'll see how many people we can get to come on this devotion. No, and it was absolutely blessed by the Lord. And it's those things that happen in your life that you realize you had nothing to do with it. God did it all. And then God's going to reward us for something like that. That's the beauty of the Lord. That's the love of God for us, that he wants to reward us for the work that he does in and through us. You know, I look at that and I remember just what a blessing that time was. And it's when those seasons pass, There's a tendency in the flesh to try to recreate it. And you can't recreate in the flesh something that was done by the Spirit. So that's that that level of discernment in our lives. Let's say, Lord, Pastor Chuck used to say it all the time. Listen, if a season passes, if a ministry fails, then it was that season's over. Don't keep trying to resurrect it. You know? There's a lot of great things that happened at the birth of Calvary Chapel. You know, there was a lot of amazing things that happened that the Lord did. And I know there's tendencies for us to try to reestablish those things. And I'm of the mindset that God's working today what God wants to do today. And don't try to do what he did last year. Don't try to do what he did last decade. Enjoy the season that God has you in right now. Even as difficult as it may be, God's using it to produce in you a stronger faith and maybe an opportunity for him to show you his grace in a greater way. Because it can't always be the same. Can't always be the same. God promises great rewards to those who serve him faithfully. Jesus said it in Matthew 10. He says it this way. He says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So I don't want us to think God rewards only the big things, right? Again, the hay, wood, and stubble is wrong motives of the flesh. The other things that endure, the precious stones, those things that endure are the smallest of things. A kindness to someone. God recognizes, God takes note of that. You know, being nice to people, being kind. But anybody think we need more of those in the world? There's a lot of opinions out there. Do our opinions matter? They do if they're the Lord's, if they're prompted by God. We have to be careful. In these last days, again, that verse that says, when the Lord returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Because even the elect will be deceived. It scares me. Lord, help us to stay faithful. Help us to stay faithful. Finally, as we look at verse 16, it says, do you not know, we all should know, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How do you know the Spirit of God dwells in you? By your giving and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's that simple. Yes, they'll know you by your fruit, the fruit that you produce in your life. But you know that the Spirit's in you. If you love the Lord Jesus and you believe that when he died on that cross, he had you on his mind. If you believe that with all of your heart, then the Spirit dwells in you. And therefore, you are the temple of God. As Paul is thinking about this, he's thinking of the temple. The temple was the place, that Holy of Holies was the presence of God, literal presence of God. And he's like, you are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. God dwells in you. What a beautiful picture. Do you know that? Are you reminded of that? And if you are the temple of God, how important is your life? The temple was precious to God. He set it up. He determined what it would look like. It's a beautiful thing. And it's precious to God. And therefore, you are precious to the Lord. He loves you so much. He looks at you and says, you are my temple and I want to dwell in you. That's the beautiful thing. That the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Our lives can either bless the Spirit or they can grieve the Spirit. Okay? Sin grieves the Spirit. Sin grieves God. It should grieve us too. And we all sin. But I was sharing it at our staff meeting on Wednesday. We all fail. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But the thing is, does the Holy Spirit convict you immediately? Or do you like, oh, that's okay? See, it's when you don't feel that conviction. It's when you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to say, hey, what you did was wrong. I'm having a conversation with God right now. Hang on a second. pastor wasn't a great witness the other day. This is a struggle. RJ's laughing because he knows what I'm going to say. So my wife and I, we've been working on a project for her brother-in-law. And I was just getting frustrated at one of the subcontractors. And when I saw something I didn't like, and it just kind of came out of me, the frustration. And I'm not going to share it with you because I don't think that would honor the Lord. But there were people around me. One was the project manager and one was one of his employees. And as soon as I said it, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I'm like, this guy right here isn't a believer. He knows I'm a pastor. I mean, this is going through my mind like this. I'm like, and so I immediately after I said it, I say, well, that wasn't very pastorly of me. And the guy laughed. And the other guy said, what'd you say? I go, well, I'm not going to repeat it. But the guy who's not a believer laughed. And I was like, that was not very good. I should not have done that. But aren't we all like that? We all come to that place where we slip up. We don't mean to. We don't intend to. But I was very thankful. And the reason I share the story is that immediately the Holy Spirit convicted me at that moment. And it doesn't mean if you get convicted a little bit later, that's fine. As long as you're listening to the conviction and immediately saying, I am so sorry I did that. And I don't know the man. I don't know how he took it. I'm hoping he took it as, wow, there's someone that's honest about what's going on in their life, I hope. I hope he doesn't look at it like, well, I'll never go to that church. That pastor's... Anyway. But we all have those moments, don't we? And to know right here, again, verse 16, do you not know? Maybe you didn't know this morning. Maybe you didn't think about it. Maybe you haven't been reminded of it. You are the temple of God, and God is going wherever you go, and God wants to use you. And if we work together, working with other believers, but also working with the Lord, because the Spirit's in us, he can do those things. He can do amazing things in your life. You know, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? He's like, Corinthians, wake up. You're to represent the Lord. That's a high call, my friends. And we shouldn't take that lightly. We shouldn't think, well, my life really doesn't matter. No, it does matter. It matters to your family. It matters to your friends. It matters how you live your life. Because I believe there's more people in the world that are living for the Lord. There's going to be more people that want to live for the Lord. I really believe that. Because there's a lot of things going on in the world that should not be happening. The temple of God. Notice in verse 17, this is where we close. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Does that sound harsh? Wow, I would say so. Again, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I love the statement, which, in my Bible, the word temple is in italics, so that means they added it. So basically what it's saying is, which you are. You are the temple of God, and you are holy because God's in you. Anybody feel holy? Anybody feel unholy? Nobody will admit it. That's good. But we don't feel it, but that's what we are. If we are the temple of God, God's temple is holy. And so we are to be holy. And when I think of how it is that we're to be holy, I think about Moses when he witnessed a burning bush. And the bush said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And Joshua, when he was overlooking the city of Jericho, he had this encounter with the Lord, and the Lord said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. I wonder sometimes, should we as believers, when we come in the presence of God, take off our shoes spiritually? See, we all come from the world. We all come where the world has dirtied us up. And maybe we should spiritually, before we walk in this place or before we drive on the property, take our shoes off. We're entering into a holy place. I mean, if you ever are out gardening in your house, get your shoes all dirty, do you walk in your house and just tramp the dirt all over? No, you take your shoes off. Spiritually, I think we should prepare ourselves. God, help me to really come with a heart that's humbled before you, because I'm entering into a holy place. And to see God use us in this place and strengthen us in this place, so that when we go out there, we realize we're the temple of the living God, and God has marked us out to help other people that are struggling. And we practice that in here. May that be our hearts, is to come before the Lord with a humble heart before us, before him, excuse me. I think of Revelation 1:19, John fell at the feet of Jesus when Jesus started to reveal to him his church. I wonder if we should have that heart to humble ourselves before God. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you, I know I said it was almost done. John chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit's in you, right? It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I've always loved this aspect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the entirety of the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit can give you the entire Word of God when he needs to. He'll bring it to your remembrance. That's why we read it, so that we have it in our minds. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to stir it back up, so that when we're in a place in our own lives where we're struggling, the Holy Spirit can say, yeah, but I said this. Remember, I said, I'll never leave you or forsake you when you're feeling abandoned. So the Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of the Word of God. And I love that aspect of the Holy Spirit. This morning, God is reminding all of us that we are his temple, that he is with us and he dwells among us right here, right now, in this church, at this moment. If you're a believer and truly love the Lord, you are the temple of God. And together, we have a job to do, and that's bring glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the times that you give us to gather together here in this place. But Lord, we know that this is not the church. Though people around, we hope, point and say, oh, there's a church over there. Lord, we know that that church is us, your people. And I pray, Lord, that your people and your church would remain holy. And God, when we get dirty, and when we sin, and when we make mistakes, we pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us in that moment. And that we would cry out to you to forgive us. And know that that forgiveness is given freely. We understand there are consequences to our mistakes. But we are so thankful that you remember our sin no more, because you paid for that sin upon the cross at Calvary. God bless your church. Bless each and every individual in this room and for those that are watching. And God, we pray that you would allow us to work with you. Whatever it is, Lord, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a stranger. May we always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity with you, the hope of departing from this world with all the sin, all the pain, all the suffering, looking forward to that day that we behold your glory in heaven. We thank you for your word. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.